Okay, we're going to get started. I'm Lisa Menini with Accelerate Associates, and welcome everyone to the Success Circle Q&A call. And we are going to get started here. I want to welcome all the new members to the Success Circle. This is the Q&A call, so this is your opportunity to ask any questions that you might have. So if you're working through the Entrepreneurial Edge system, or you have any question about perhaps a webinar or teleseminar that you've taken with us, then this is your time to ask. Or maybe it's something just as simple as a marketing or marketing question about your business. We're happy to answer them here on this call. So this is your opportunity, and remember, you can send those questions to info@accelerateassociates.com. Before we get started, I wanted to update everyone on some exciting upcoming events. You are the first to know these. Usually we like to announce those to our Success Circle members first. Although not new, we've been announcing this for several weeks now. Tomorrow, October 27th at 9 a.m., you can catch my interview with Dr. Ivan Meisner, who is a New York Times best-selling author and chairman and founder of BNI, Business Network International, which is and senior partner of the Referral Institute. He is father of modern networking, as dubbed by CNN and many others. He's the master guru of networking, and I have an opportunity to interview him tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and on blogtalkradio.com/navigating_change, and that's the radio show. If you missed it, you can catch the podcast and listen to all of his words of wisdom. I'm sure is going to be many. He's also going to be talking about his new book, Networking Like a Pro, and we're going to learn more from him tomorrow. So that's real exciting news. And on November 4th, for those of you that are local in the Michigan area, ION Strategic Partners is having an informational meeting. This is a new level of networking. Great event that's coming up. And you can email info@accelerateassociates.com for more information if you are interested in attending. Tuesday, November 9th, a great teleseminar free to all individuals. It's called How to Draw in Traffic with Your Lead Generation System. And How to Draw in Traffic While You Sleep. So that is going to be on November 9th, How to Draw in Traffic with Your Lead Generation System. Sorry, that's our next high content call. And so very special guest Jane Birch is going to be there, and we're going to answer any questions that you might have, too, about how to draw in traffic to your lead generation system. That might be a particularly interesting segment for those of you who have just gone through Continuous Clients and Cash seminar series. Remember, the self-study program is now available, and more information is available on the Success Circle site with a link to the Continuous Clients and Cash self-study program. So again, that's going to be Tuesday, November 9th at 4:30. And the next Q&A call is Tuesday, November 23rd. Again, email your questions to info@accelerateassociates.com. Wednesday, November 17th, Make Money and Draw in More Clients While You Sleep, revealed the amazingly simple steps to waking up profitable. We're going to share a ton of information on there, and if you're an affiliate, you'll want to make sure that you draw in traffic to this free teleseminar on November 17th. Why? Well, a couple of things. Our affiliates, we are increasing our commissions on affiliates, so that's exciting. And at the end of that session, I will be announcing, real big announcement, about a special scholarship price for the upcoming three-day intensive, the entrepreneurial three-day intensive that's happening in May of 2011. And so people that get in early are going to have an amazing deal that also includes last year's self-study program that we recorded and put into a self-study program. So not only are they going to get access to the three-day event, they're also going to get a self-study program so they can get started immediately. So lots of stuff coming up, and we're going to be announcing that on the November 17th free teleseminar. And I'll also be sharing some really great content on that call, too, so hopefully you can make it. And then Thursday, December 9th, if you have a book inside you that's just dying to get out, you'll want to attend the Planning, Promoting, and Profiting Strategies to Become a Bestseller Guaranteed. That's a teleseminar that I'm going to be doing. A lot of people have asked me, as a self-published author, how did you become a best-selling author? So I'm going to be sharing my secrets to that. And, again, that's on December 9th. All the links to sign up for any of these events are on the Success Circle site. So just scroll all the way down on the right-hand side, and you'll see the links to these events. So we've got a number of questions that we are going to answer, that I'm going to answer for you today. And if we have a little extra time, I'll open up the lines to ask any questions and anybody who wants some on-the-spot coaching. I've got a question here about tips on conducting teleseminars. So many of you may be incorporating teleseminars or even webinars into your marketing mix. Now remember, your marketing mix are all those ways that you market your business, but it's the systematic way that you market your business as well. Now for some of you who are adding teleseminars, it's a great way of also creating consistency and creating high content. That high content that people see when they attend your teleseminars also creates the credibility. And if you're doing those on a regular basis, you can also utilize them to make special announcements about other upcoming events that you have. So not only do attendees that attend your teleseminars get great content, but they begin to trust you. They see consistency in your messaging and in your branding, and they also hear about some of the upcoming events that you have. Now, there are some really simple tips that I'm going to share with you today on having a teleseminar. First of all, you know, there are some things that if you're new to doing teleseminars, you may not be aware of, but that are really critical to making sure that your teleseminar goes off without a hitch. And I'm going to give some of those to you today, but I know just from experience, some of you are going to want more and dive deeper into this, so I'll also give you a resource that you can tap into when you're ready to implement the teleseminars. But just a couple of small tips when you're giving teleseminars. Remember to turn off your cell phone. If you're giving a teleseminar and you have your cell phone next to you and you're not using your cell phone to do this teleseminar, which I recommend that you do teleseminars from landlines, and the process is simple, the reason is simple, because on cell phones you can easily get dropped. The call can be dropped. It's less likely on a landline. You also want to make sure you have a corded landline that you're conducting your teleseminars from, because sometimes the cordless doesn't have as good reception as a corded phone does. Remember, if you do have call waiting on your calls, to before your teleseminar, to shut off that call waiting. It depends on your service, but sometimes a *70 will do that. And also, it's the way you set up your teleseminar that will likely be successful. Think about when you're giving a teleseminar, don't think about it as an individual event. Rather, it needs to be part of your overall marketing strategy. What do I mean by that? Well, Getting high content is great, but could you also integrate it with a resource at the end that people can tap into? So if, for example, I'm giving a high content call about how to make money and draw in more clients while you sleep. Now, on that call, I'm going to give really great content, but at the end, I'm also going to give an additional resource for those who want more, i.e. the self-study program or the three-day intensive that people can tap into should they feel inspired and want more. So think about when you're giving teleseminars and you're making that as part of your marketing mix, that you also think about how it fits into your overall business, kind of a systematic approach to it. Some things that you also want to keep in mind is that, you know, people like to buy from people they know, like, and trust. But they like to buy. They don't like to be sold. So make sure that you are giving content. And a lot of people think that, you know, I know there's a lot of experts out there that are saying, oh, you know, you can talk your way through a teleseminar without giving a lot of content. I prefer not to do it that way. I think that leaves, when you do that, the person feeling kind of empty and they don't feel like they've gotten anything from it. A lot of people try to put sort of an emotional sell on it. I think if you're very authentic through an entire teleseminar and you give them content, what you promise to give them, and then give them additional resources at the end, I think people will trust you. Will they necessarily, is everybody going to buy from you during your first teleseminar? No, you've got to perfect it. But again, you've got to create trust and you've got to create that consistency in your marketing. And but making sure that it's also not an entire pitch, the entire teleseminar, that it is providing high content. The second thing to remember during teleseminars is that people do like to give and receive their information in different ways. People that have worked with me know that I talk about that quite often. Some people like their information in bullet points. Some people like a lot of detail want to know what the details are. Some people need the pace to be very quick. Now, that's why it's kind of necessary to do both teleseminars and maybe webinars, because some people learn more visually. If you are going to do a teleseminar, I do recommend that you have maybe a piece of paper or something they can also download when they sign up for your teleseminar that they can follow along. So as you're doing your teleseminar, some of the key points, and they can, so it is interactive, even though, you know, it may be one way or, you know, you're trying to get people to interact on the call. Well, in that way, you get people to interact, only they are putting down the information and filling in the blanks on the download that you provided to them. And it's, too, about offering choices to people on your teleseminar. So you want to be able to offer some choices. So if you are going to give them resources, maybe you give them one resource at the end that pertains to the call, but you also give them choices in how they pay for it. So if it's a big ticket item, you might want to give them a choice to pay for it in 3 installments or 2 installments or whatever. Again, people like choices, whether it's choices in the product or it's choices in how they pay for the product. excuse me. Let's see. So remember when you're giving teleseminars that you're integrating it into your overall system, and that you're really thinking about the whole event. Before the event, what do you want to do? During the event, what do you want to do? And after the event, what's the takeaway from that particular event? And is at the end of your teleseminar or webinar, is there maybe an upsell? So those are all things to remember. And for those of you that are interested in receiving the ultimate guide or in getting your hands on the ultimate guide to teleseminars and webinars, I provide that, again, the link is on the Success Circle site, You can get the ultimate guide that literally walks you through how to seal the deal authentically, either on stage or through a teleseminar or webinar. It gives you a format to use on teleseminars, because there is a specific format you do want to use on teleseminars. Again, in preparing them letting them know what you're going to be talking about, and we help you script it out. There's a script in there that you can just plug in your information, and just really great content in that particular ebook. So you can pick that up. Again, that's on the Success Circle site for those of you who are interested in integrating teleseminars, webinars, or even speaking into your marketing mix. Okay, let's see. Let's go on to the next question from, actually, I think the last question was from Virginia. So, Virginia, thank you very much for submitting that question. We've got another one from, this is also from Virginia. We've got, the question is regarding lead generation systems. And for those of you who might have attended Continuous Clients and Cash, or those of you who picked up the self-study program, there's a point where you receive, you get a domain name after you've researched how people are finding you, like through a keyword search. And the question is, let's say you have several keyword searches on what people are putting in search engines to find you, and you find several. Do you have to have hosting for each one of those domains? And the immediate answer is, do you have to? No. It depends on what you want to do with those domains, and you can host different lead generation systems on different keyword searches. So if you have two or three keywords and you buy a domain for them and have your lead generation system on them, you can host all of them, or you can do a redirect. So for my free business plan format.com site and the Entrepreneurial Edge system, I actually redirect. I bought the Entrepreneurial Edge system.com domain, but it actually is a redirect to my free business plan format site, where I have any information on the Entrepreneurial Edge. I simply did that because it was easier to have it all in one place. Could I have separate hosting for Entrepreneurial Edge? Yeah, I could, but again, you have to really determine on how you want to funnel through folks and how much hosting you want to have in different places. So I like to tell people to keep it super simple. Whatever you decide to do with regard to your lead generation system, I know folks, it makes perfect sense to set up two or three different types of lead generation systems depending on their niche market, and that's also a possibility. So however it works for your particular clients is also very helpful. So you can either buy the domain and redirect it to another domain, or you can create a whole different lead generation. Now, there's search engine optimization that goes in with all of that, so you've really got to watch how you can optimize each domain. But I would say that if you're looking at a lead generation system and you're buying keywords, really hone in on the ideal, you know, your ideal client, what they might be putting in the search engines to find you, and then base your lead generation system off of that. If you've got other keywords, then initially what you might want to do is just redirect them to that main domain word, and then that way you don't have five different lead generation systems, especially if it's for the same client. So, Virginia, thank you for that question. And let's see. Terry C. had a question. Terry Coker, I believe this is. And another question about the Continuous Clients and Cash webinar with regard to Market Samurai, which is a tool that can be used to do some research on keywords that people are putting in the search engines to find you. The question is, are there other ways to identify your keyword phrase, which is a critical part of creating your lead generation system? And there is different ways to look at your keyword phrases, which are key to creating a lead generation system, which is a system that automatically generates prospects for you. But a lot of people get hung up on the doing the research for the keyword phrase, because it could be hours that you're searching, gee, what is the best keyword phrase? And without going into the whole Continuous Clients and Cash webinar, because that was over a period of 4 weeks, there are other ways to find out just how your ideal clients are finding you. And the step one is, you can go to something as simple as SurveyMonkey.com. SurveyMonkey.com has a free service that you can create very simple surveys, and it will calculate, you know, do some analytics for you. Very simple analytics, though. And what you can do is you can survey ideal clients. So let's say you're looking for people that want to buy franchises. Okay, so you can set up a survey in SurveyMonkey that says, if you were looking to work with an expert in franchise in finding the franchise that was best for you, what key words would you put in a search engine, you know, to locate that person? Not a very great way to ask the question, but you get my point. Then what you can do is you can either, number one, survey, if you already have an existing list, survey your list. If you have, you can ask using your social media. So, hey, I'm looking for anybody who's interested in, looking at franchise opportunities. What would you put in, you know, a search engine to find those franchise opportunities? What keywords would you put in a search engine? Or you can ask through your blog. If you have a blog, you can also ask that question and ask people to take your survey, one question survey. Maybe too, you can entice them by giving them something for free in exchange when they answer your question. Again, this is just one simple way to start populating a survey and getting some market data out there. You can also search on Twitter and see, for those people interested in, you know, franchise opportunities, would you take my one question survey? And it'd be interesting to see just how many people that you can, on Twitter it's important to ask not just once, but several times, so that you get a cross-section of people at different times. And that is those are some ways that you can start populating and getting real market data and on what people are putting in search engines to find you. We also have Terry, another Terry, Terry W., who asks, do you feel having a brick-and-mortar office is much more beneficial to working from home? So many people are working from home, and I keep holding on to an office because in my eyes it makes me look more successful or at least more profitable. Would that be true? Great, great question, Terry. Thank you so much for submitting that. This is a great example of the industrial age mindset and the information age mindset, and just how it influences and how ingrained it is in all of us who grew up with industrial age mindsets and belief systems. Because in the industrial age, things were about bricks and mortar. Why? Because you had manufacturing, you had all these, you know, the notions of how business got done, because you didn't have the information or the technology to do it any other way but in one place. And so the industrial age really got used to bricks and mortar. And a lot of people got used to working in big corporations and having specific locations that they did work in. Then came the information age. Well, you've got teleseminars and webinars that we were just talking about, and different ways, you know, now you've got telecommuting, and you've got people that worked from home because they had email access and internet access that allowed us to do work anywhere. Now with mobile, it's allowing us to even answer emails over our phones, to do a lot of things over our phones, and that whole technology is exploding even further. So now, in industrial age, it became more about bricks and mortar, but now it's about more of about a place, I'm sorry, more of a time and technology of when you're gonna meet. So what time and what technology? you even have to ask sometimes, well, is this over the phone, webinar, Skype? Nowadays, because people are used to, you know, getting more work done in a shorter period of time because they don't have to do the commute or they don't necessarily need to meet in person. It's also allowing people to expand their businesses beyond geographic boundaries because now they can do business in China, maybe not having to go there as often or wherever, because now they have the ability to do things over the internet and be able to communicate through video phone with their clients. So the question is a really great one, and I wanted to go through that. I also had a colleague that recently went through that whole process of going through. Her perspective was this. She says, you know, once I got out of the mindset and got out of my own way, and she said that she felt her, you know, she had to get over the fact that, or ask herself the question, is my credibility linked to the address on my business card? And she's like, once I asked myself, is my credibility linked to the address on my business card? She realized that it wasn't. She said, you know, I could easily set up a P.O. box number. It could go to the P.O. box number. And I could work from home. But I would ask that it depends on the kind of business that you do have. And so I have a couple of questions that you can ask yourself, Terry. What's important about a retail location for you? What's really important about the retail location? Number two, what's important about moving into a home office? Number three, what's your motivation for making that switch? Is there a sense of urgency? And where is there leverage in doing that? So in some cases, people will want to have a retail, especially when that retail gives them visibility. So, for example, is it in a high-traffic location where it draws in business? And if the answer is yes, great. But could you get that same visibility working at home and just maximizing the internet, where a lot of people will go for their solutions? They will surf the internet before, you know, unless you're in a very visible area, an established area, they're going to go, you know, certainly restaurants can't have a home office. I mean, there is just some practicality to some businesses. But, you know, there can be some really great savings in overhead if you really truly don't need a home office. Now, my colleague, her mindset came out of the recruiting industry. She recruited for many years, and she said, you know, wait a minute. I guess I could meet my clients at home. And she ended up not meeting any clients at home. Why? Because she realized most of the stuff that she did was over the phone And when she did meet a client, she could meet them at a coffee house or, you know, other meeting place. Or, and a lot of times, she was going to the company who was doing the recruiting, you know, who needed the position filled. So for her, she actually looked at her, and I'd recommend you do the same, is looked at your activities. Are your activities, do you really need that that space, that retail location? Also, when you do decide to move from home to a home location, also think about what a lot of the entrepreneurs that I work with struggle with, and that is, number one, boundaries. So some people in your family, depending on who's in your family, may think, oh, she's working from home. She has or he has time now to do errands. So from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you may need to identify boundaries and only accept, you know, phone calls during off-peak business hours. So if your business hours are 9 to 5, then family, you know, you need to set a boundary that family, you know, errands and whatnot would be done after 5, like you would normally do, if you had a retail establishment. When you do move, is it practical when you move to a home office? So do you have to also, this goes back to boundaries, set boundaries if you have a lot of noise, do you have pets, what do you do with them? So think about, as you move into a home location, how you're going to transition with some of those other types of interruptions. One of the things, too, is where is the home office going to be located? So in all practicality, you may want to move it to an area of the house that if you do have clients and they come over, you know, they don't have to traipse through the entire house. However, that might not be the best location within the house for your office, especially if you're an individual who's hardwired to be distracted easily. People that are naturally wired to juggle multiple things, to have a high sense of urgency, to react to their environment, they're good at getting things done, but they're also easily distracted. If you are in a high traffic location or you set your office in a home where there's a lot of traffic, you're going to be easily distracted, and that's going to take away the focus from your business. So consider very carefully, if you do move your home office, to where that's going to be located. Do you have a door that you can close so you have uninterrupted time? And again, that may be important too for those of you who also have some confidential information or client files that you need to keep confidential. So having a locked door, locked cabinet, those are all things to consider when you move into the home environment. And so those are some of the things that are important when moving to home environment. You can also meet with your CPA, your financial advisor, and to figure out some of the tax savings that you might get as a result of having a home office. So there are some deductions available, just like you would through rent or if you had a retail establishment. One of the things that I also get is of particular interest is the boundaries piece, is individuals that have home offices typically can become easily distracted because of other people that might be home, you know, neighbors that might think, oh, she works from home, we can interrupt her. So those are boundaries you're going to have to set with different people, and just know that those are some of the considerations in having a home office. Let's see here. I'm looking at some of the other questions that we have. Just want to make sure that I catch some of these. Let's see. What I'm going to do, I have a number of other questions too, but I want to open it up right now. I think this is a good, I've been talking for a while now, so I'd like to open it up for anybody who has any questions. It could be about anything that I've covered so far, or maybe you have a separate question you'd like some input on. So I'm going to open up the channel right now.
Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
And if you have a question, make sure you unmute. So if you star sixed your phone, you might want to star six again. And does anyone have any questions? Go ahead. Anybody? Everybody's quiet today. There are no questions. We'll put everybody back on mute, and we will I'll ask some of these other questions. No? Okay.
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves. Presentation mode is on. Only organizers can be heard.
Okay. Well, we'll resume. I just wanted to take a quick break to see if anybody had any other questions. I always get this question, too, that came through, and an individual asked. Let's see, do I have a name here with this? No, I don't. But we had a question that came in. How do I get unfocused? How do I remain focused and get it all done? Actually, the biggest struggle is being all over the place, is the question. I have a business idea I believe to be a viable option, but I have a hard time getting started. No business plan, customers, or anything, but I think it could be a winning idea. I've done business plans and startups before, but this is a bit different. It's an area I haven't directly worked in before. That's a great question. First of all, I'd say, you know, a lot of times we think we have a viable option, but it's really helpful to do additional research on it and the marketplace before moving forward. That's helpful. And two, the getting very, very clear about your ideal client. And I often say, be exact to attract. If you have a great business idea, it's necessary for you to identify very precisely who your ideal client is, or your preferred client, where they hang out, what do they read, what are their struggles, what are their frustrations, how does your solution affect them, and is the answer to their problem or struggle. So I think that's really important to, number one, be exact to attract your ideal client. Number two, kind of you have to be, focused to be fabulous. There's a few things that make your business viable, but what happens when, especially with small business owners, is you try to do everything all at once, and you wonder why then there's cash flow issues, because you're not, you're trying to get everything done all at once without people having a very clear plan, a step-by-step blueprint on how they're going to get from where they are today to where they want to be. And that first year is particularly critical because you've got to be clear, and sometimes people try to cast a wide net and try to be everything to everyone. And as I've often said, you'll be nothing to no one if you use that. But developing your blueprint and keeping it very clear steps on what needs to be done, what's critical, and, kind of this one-hour rule to delegating, I call it. Can you delegate things to your to someone, whether it's a virtual assistant, just you know, an hour of your time, whether it's, and usually include those items that are not revenue generating. A lot of people do things like, posting of their articles to social media because it's part of their article marketing. And so they say, well, I am doing the marketing, but some of those postings and some of the admin type work are best done by admins. And it's, even if it's just an hour or a half an hour or 15 minutes a day that you're giving, work that might take you longer because you're not experienced at it, or work that's not revenue generating. What I typically find is that entrepreneurs will try to do everything, and they end up spending time on the things that don't generate revenue, but number two, then they're having major cash flow issues. So it's really important to focus on those things that, number one, focus on your ideal clients, but number two, focus on those few things that actually bring in income for yours. And everything else, shifting your work, again, even if it's only an hour a day or an hour a week, whatever that is. It only takes a few baby steps for you in delegating some of those things for you to realize just how much it frees your time and how much other time you can spend with marketing and getting the word out there and doing other things that actually generate revenue. Spend time with your clients, your existing clients, and so those things are going to be critical. So when I hear that people are kind of all over the place, it's often because they haven't done any work regarding like their blueprint. So getting their business model very clear. How are they bringing in revenue? A very clear model of their business, their marketing mix. Making sure that they have a very clear idea of exactly how they're going to market their business. They usually don't even have an action plan. They haven't identified any goals or objectives. And those are really key components of a blueprint process that every entrepreneur should have, and one of the reasons why they struggle so much is because they don't have that in their system. And of course, that's something that we cover in the Entrepreneurial Edge System self-study program. And for those of you who've been through the 3-day intensive, you know we focus on all of those elements so that you get very clear. Let's see what other questions that we have. Okay, this one came in. Let's see. Yeah, this one I actually handled in one of my blog entries in an article, but this one was, you know, it's hard to get and stay motivated while developing my new business and not get discouraged. That was kind of the question, how do you stay motivated? One of the things, the key components that those of you who've been through the Entrepreneurial Edge System know a lot about is mastering your inner entrepreneur. I cannot emphasize enough the need to get your natural motivation or your natural hardwiring met on a daily basis. So, for example, those people that are, you know, you're high dominance. If you read my book, you're the audacious atoms of the world, the real, you know, go-getting, results-oriented individuals. If you're not seeing the tangible results, it's going to be very demotivating for you. Again, all the more reason you need a business blueprint. And a very clear plan of where you're going, because you need to see those milestones. You need to see those tangible things that are getting done, those accomplishments that you're doing. People that need face-to-face, those extroverts, you are naturally going to need that face-to-face communication. Time and time again, I've seen individuals, and this also relates to the other question that was asked about a home-based business, as I've seen extroverts have this home-based business and they're very de-energized and they can't get motivated. They don't feel energized to do anything. Why? Because they're not getting their face-to-face communication met on a daily basis. The daily basis. So this is really critical to staying motivated, is to make sure your natural wiring is met on a regular basis. So some of the things you can do: go to the networking, or, you know, go to the networking meetings, making sure that that's part of your daily routine, or you're getting out, you're having that face-to-face communication. If you don't, you won't stay motivated. Likewise, the folks that maybe need information, they need to find out things. Well, seek out training, you know, special personal development training, or training that you need in your specific area that you need help in. Seek out, you know, a lot of colleges and universities are doing a lot of different work on startup information. So seek out those avenues where you really need the assistance. Those are some ways of staying motivated while you develop your business and not get discouraged. Again, I cannot emphasize enough the power of having a very clear plan with your 3 to 5 goals, with all of your objectives lined out, with all the action plans and the dates that you're going to have things done. When you start working that plan and you start seeing all the things and in all the progress that you're making, by checking off that list, there's nothing more satisfying than seeing the progress that you're making. And it's one way of staying motivated. And also to see if you're focused on the right things that are, you know, that are bringing in clients and income to your business. So I think that's all the questions that we had today. I know we're going to end up a little bit earlier today, but again, I want to remind everybody who joined us late that remember tomorrow, October 27th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Dr. Ivan Meisner, who will be joining me on my Navigating Change radio show. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/navigating_change. And you can listen live or listen to the podcast afterwards. Just a reminder, we've got November 9th is our next high content call, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Remember that we're going to talk about how to draw in traffic to your lead generation system. So those of you who went through the Continuous Clients and Cash webinar, you're now going to learn about how to draw in more traffic to that lead generation system. And on Tuesday, November 23rd, is our next Q&A session. So email info@accelerateassociates.com, your question, and we'll cover that question. And again, that's at 4:30 Eastern Time. I think that's it for today. I want to thank everyone for coming to the Success Circle. If this is your first time, again, welcome. And I look forward to working with all of you. Remember, if you haven't set up your laser coaching call, to do that, email info@accelerateassociates.com. And real pleasure. Thanks for submitting all your questions. And until next time, create a great life. Bye, guys.